this concluding chapter of the book of Proverbs to all our good today for Jesus' sake. I say the chapter 31 for this little textual preacher whose mind is hardly vast enough to take in a text. We're going to attempt to cover a chapter today. So, you please excuse me if this message is shorter than normal. I have to confess that when the preacher has prepared all the week for going a certain direction and then the Lord changes the direction just in a limited number of hours, my family was very generous to give me words of encouragement that somebody would drive while I was studying. Well, I really didn't feel like studying, and I didn't bring anything along to study except 1 Corinthians to really study. And so the Lord stirred me early Saturday morning from my sleep. My little son had stirred me from my sleep earlier in the night by a sleepwalking, not knowing where he was in a strange house. So we slept together, and I got a few kicks in the back. And, you know, the knee in the back and all this stuff. So I got up early, and the Lord led me to this text even before I got out of bed, and I was meditating upon it, and my family was very worried that there would be no message for this morning. And we got here at 10 o'clock last night, but the Lord is very good. The Lord is able to answer prayer and do things that we don't know. And so we can just be amazed at His grace. A lost young man could not sleep one night. As he lay there awake, he thought about his objections to the gospel. Suddenly, he remembered his mother. There were two unquestionable facts about his mother's life that really bothered him as he tried to sleep at night. First, she was a woman greatly afflicted physically, who also carried great burdens upon her heart for her family. Yet, this is still the first thing about his mother. She still cheerfully bore up under her circumstances as she was supported by the power of God. It was the Lord in His Word and even in the place of prayer that kept her going every day. The second thing that bothered this young man about his mother was this. She had a secret spring of comfort of which he knew absolutely nothing. He gave unbounded liberties to every one of his fleshly appetites, and he sought pleasure to the fullest, but he could never find satisfaction. He did not know what physical suffering was, or he did not know anything of the great burdens that weighed down his mother, though he knew she had them, and he could understand that there were things that troubled her greatly. He had no thing to burden him down that way, and he sought pleasure, and still he could find no satisfaction. As he lay there thinking, he said to himself, "May I not come to know spiritual comfort as well as my mother does?" Immediately, Richard Cecil began to seek the Lord. And soon he came to know Christ and salvation through the Savior's blood. He became a strong preacher of God's sovereign grace. And through his ministry, many, many precious souls were brought to Christ in England. What was it that changed the young man's heart? It was the beauty of a godly mother's life. Even though she was like so many mothers who suffered not only physically from pain in her body, but also from the great burdens and cares of life that she had to attend to. In our Scripture reading this morning, we have the instructions of a godly mother. I want you to take a special note of that. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Who was this mother? The points, we'll try to emphasize them as we go along, in the form of questions, I believe. First of all, who was this mother? Her name was Bathsheba. This book of Proverbs was written by her son, Solomon. He is the king, Lemuel, of verse 1. And it's also mentioned in verse 4, O Lemuel. Lemuel means devoted to God. Devoted to God. This tells us something about Bathsheba's life itself. Having been guilty of adultery, having terrible grief at the loss of that little son of adultery, her heart obviously passed through a change. This son that lived, she called Solomon. The Hebrew name Solomon comes from the same three-letter root that the Hebrew word shalom comes from, meaning peace. Had she not come to peace with God, even after her great difficulties? Had she not come to peace with God and named the son Solomon, as we'll see in these verses? She calls him in verse 2, "What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows?" Some vows to the Lord. Now that she has this son, instead of that son that died from an adulterous relationship. Had she not come to peace through repentance and faith in the Lord? Bathsheba's life had known everything but peace before that because of sin. Her sin, as well as David's sin, had brought her trouble. She had wickedly exposed herself while taking a bath. She had willingly joined in with David in adultery. And we know that it's so because there was no cry uttered by her when she was taken. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 27, gives clearing for the woman who is defiled because even she gives a cry and there's no one to help. But there was no cry in the city of David when she was taken by him. And we know from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 5, that she plotted with David to cover the sin. But now she gives godly inspired instructions and warnings to her son, the king. What can we learn from this first thought? God forgives sin. God changes lives and then uses them for His glory. Bathsheba became indeed a virtuous woman. The second question is this: not only who was this mother, secondly, what were this mother's instructions? What were this mother's instructions? First and foremost, she taught her son, Solomon, and here it is. Understand this. This was the first lesson she was speaking to him about in verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Because earlier in the book of Proverbs in chapter 7, it's obvious that the ways that are being spoken of here not only destroy kings, but destroy all men who give their strength unto women. First and foremost, she tells her son, you must guard yourself against lust, for it is a dangerous and deadly family sin. It brought awful judgment upon your father. And that judgment lasted for many years until at last four of his sons were taken by the hand of a chastening God. It brought awful judgment upon your father, she is saying in so many words, and it will bring judgment upon you. David had a weakness for women and had many wives in direct disobedience to God's clearly revealed will. In Deuteronomy 17, verses 15 through 17, God had proclaimed that it was His clear will that kings not multiply wives to themselves. Here is a word not only to men, but also to women. Women need to realize that men and young men have a tendency and a proneness to lust. For God's sake, help them to have victory over it. The godly woman not only covers her own body with clothing, verse 22 tells us she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. The godly woman not only covers her own body, she sees to it that her family is properly clothed and covered at all times. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Ladies and young ladies, you are responsible before God not only to dress in an unprovocative manner, you are responsible before God not to lure men by worldly dress nor by worldly makeup. The attractiveness of the godly woman is to be her godliness. Bathsheba warned Solomon to flee from the dangers of lust that would destroy him. Secondly, under the warnings and instructions of this virtuous woman now, Bathsheba warned Solomon in verses 4 through 7 to flee the dreadful dangers of alcohol, for the drink destroyed kings. And then she encourages him not only with these negatives, she gives him some positives. She says, in the third place in her instruction, down in verses 8 and 9, open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Bathsheba calls on her son to be valiant for the truth, to defend the helpless, the poor, and the needy. And I have to confess that I was overwhelmed with delight yesterday. No one may have thought anything about it. My son Jeremiah made me very proud. And I'm going to say this. You know what I am. I am a Confederate by birth and conviction. My sons had their guns under the battle flag a week or two ago. But let us understand true history. And not the things that the media put out. There was a dear black lady who got out of her car yesterday, and she had a child she was carrying. It wasn't an infant. It was a good-sized little child, but it was, you know, probably sleeping in the car. And she would have had a struggle to open the door at Wendy's. And my son almost tripped over himself, running to open the door for her. So I was very happy to see that. And Bathsheba told her son to be very valiant to help those who are poor and needy and helpless. In the third place, we ask the question, what is Bathsheba's description of the virtuous woman? What is Bathsheba's description of the virtuous woman? Young ladies and all ladies, this is what God intends you to be. Young men, here is what you are to look for in a wife. Virtue. A virtuous woman. A godly woman. Let's look at the Scriptures here. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. A godly woman is extremely valuable to any man, even to a lost man, because many a lost man has been brought to salvation because he was married to a godly woman. I am not telling godly women that they should marry lost men, but let's admit the fact that a virtuous woman, a godly woman, is one who is very worthy. One who is a blessing wherever she is. A godly woman is extremely valuable. Now here's a clue. Another clue for young men. They're not only very valuable, they're also quite expensive. They're not low maintenance items. They require much of your time and most of your money. So remember that. All right. Now then, look at verse 11. The godly woman is trustworthy. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's frugal. The Scripture says there in verse 11, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He won't have to go and plunder other nations in order to support her and her habits. She's frugal. She's not wasteful. She's hardworking and industrious. You can see it in verses 13 through 19. You can see it again in verse 24. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And then again in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. A godly woman is not only trustworthy, she is frugal, she's hardworking and industrious, and she is generous to those who have real needs. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. A godly woman is chaste, not only in her dealings with men. A godly woman is chaste even in her words and the use of her tongue. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now here, not only women, but men do well to take heed to this godly character trait in the virtuous woman. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. All right. She openeth her mouth with holy purpose. The implication is very obvious, that she is normally quiet. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Here is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The implication is the mouth is often shut. Her tongue is under the control and under the law and the very spirit of kindness. Verse 26. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in the heart and in the life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, that means completely without pretense and without hypocrisy, the use of the tongue, the godly use of the tongue, is most important because it is the tongue that permeates the very atmosphere of the home. It is how the tongue is used. The children and the husband must not be subjected to hearing a critical, judgmental tongue, nor must the husband and children be subjected to hearing a complaining or a nagging tongue. Well, if the family is subjected to such use of the tongue, it will scar their lives. It will harm them. It will hurt them. It will make them to be hard. It will make them to have a critical spirit themselves. Unless they imbibe from their mother's tongue in particular, this law of kindness. Verse 26. In the fourth place, here's one other question of this chapter. What results from such feminine godliness? What are the results of such feminine godliness? Number one, the husband will be magnified thereby. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The husband will walk around on the face of the earth wearing this glorious crown. All right. Secondly, the results from such feminine godliness cause the children to be truly happy. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, happy. Happy in herself and happy because it makes them happy. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Her sons will understand real beauty and virtue. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her sons will understand the nature of real beauty and true virtue. They will have godly ideals themselves. They will be brought to understand that godly character goes much deeper than shallow, skin-deep glamour. The sons will seek then for virtue and for excellence in the choice of their own wife. And then, lastly, under the results of such godly femininity, in fulfilling the holy purposes of God, the godly mother will experience the highest possible fulfillment and glory herself. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is the very program of God for His elect bride, the church. By heart submission to Christ, and by obedience to His revealed will, His Word. His wife, the church, brings forth the godly seed that inherits glory, and the whole family of grace are glorified together with Christ. Hebrews 2, verses 12 and 13. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto Thee. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Mrs. Cecil had a very hard life to endure, but the grace of God caused roses to spring out of the thorny path that she had to walk. By faithfully walking with the Lord in the midst of her troubles, she saw her precious lost son, Richard Cecil, delivered from infidelity and made into a mighty servant of the Lord. Surely the Lord is able and He is willing to bless you and to bless me, even to the eternal good of our own loved ones. I trust that He would do that, even for the glory and the namesake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together and pray. O God, our Father, we do thank Thee on this Mother's Day that Thou hast graced us as a race with the natural tender affection of mothers. But oh, how glorious, how wonderful is the renovation of regeneration. Lord, we praise Thee for this chapter that we have briefly looked at. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause us to treasure this chapter and to treasure this wonderful reality of godly Christian womanhood. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take the Word and minister to every heart just as the Word is needed today. Lord, we pray for children who are strangers to Thee and to Thy grace. Lord, we pray that even on this Mother's Day, that Thou wilt bring them into that birth that will leave them blessed for all eternity. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt have mercy not only upon children. We pray that Thou wilt have mercy upon mothers who have borne elect children. We pray that Thou wilt bring every unsaved mother, even this day, those that we love, Lord, bring them out of darkness. Bring them into Thy salvation. Oh, please. Please bless every husband. Lord, cause us to cherish that which Thou dost cherish. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt deliver not only our eyes, but our thinking process, even our very mindset. Turn it counter to that which is daily bombarding us from the world. Lord, cause us to love that which Thou dost love. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless the children. We pray that Thou wilt cause every one of the children not only to know Thee, but to honor and to cherish their godly mother. Please grant each mother grace to walk with Thee in all purity and holiness. Lord, Thou hast very large instruction, and we cry so often, who is sufficient for these things? So we wait upon Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt bestow upon us, confer upon us the grace which Thou hast promised by Thy Word and Spirit. Please, minister to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's take our big blue hymn book and turn for our closing song to number 731. Number 731. This is a good prayer for us to close today.
Give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor.